Happy Sabbath. Good to see all of you. I welcome especially our visitors.
Well, summer is gone. That's kind of sad. But I'm looking forward to what God will do in us, through us, between us, in this community, throughout this year. And I invite you to pray with me on a daily basis to ask God what He wants to do in your life, in this community, in this church, because everything is possible with Jesus. We just sang that song, and I choose to believe that. Well, the title of my sermon is Lessons from the Sailors. And the phrase that we usually hear is a little different. And there's a word there, like a sailor. And it's a negative connotation there. People use their language like a sailor. That's what we hear it all the time. But I'd like to suggest today that God and His Word reaches us, and He's a very, very unique and interesting God. Sometimes we see so many paradoxes in the Scriptures. And today is one of those stories when we are invited to learn how to live like the sailors. And the story will take us to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah is a very familiar book to all of us, especially just recently we've looked through it, we studied it. But the beautiful thing about God's Word is that it never dries out. You always find things that are so powerful that God uses to reach us. And so I invite you today to open the book of Jonah. And we're going to be looking in the first part of that book. It's not a long book anyway, just three chapters. But we're going to be looking in chapter 1 and chapter 2 for the most part. Now let's remind ourselves about this book by reading the first several verses from the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah starts in verse 1 with these words. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Well, that little phrase is a very significant one. But Jonah. There was a clear, distinct, specific message from God to God's prophet. And Jonah heard it very well. There was no doubt that he heard the message. But Jonah turns around and goes the opposite direction. Well, I'd like to stop in our story at this point, and I'd like to ask you a question. Can you think of that kind of mentality? Because Jonah is not alone. He represents a group of people. Can you think of that group of people? How do they think when there is a clear message from God and they hear that message? They know God's voice. However, they turn around and go the opposite direction. You know, when I was reading that book again, it touched my life because it made me think about myself. Because I have to admit that unfortunately, but I am a part of that group very, very often. Now, how does it look? Now, we read God's Word. In fact, just recently I set a goal. I'd like to read the Word of God from the beginning to the end in 90 days. I had a good intention. I wanted to just read the whole thing to see a bigger picture. Well, unfortunately, I have to admit today, it didn't work out the way I wanted it to. Well, it doesn't work out all the time. Yes, I read at my own pace, but I didn't quite reach that goal. But when we do read the Scriptures, we read, then we stop, then we wake up next morning, we think, let's read two books at a time, let's read the whole thing. What motivates us? I know there are good motives. I know it's a good thing in general. But what I'd like for us to think about today is about that mentality of Jonah, which he had the Word of God. There was no problem. He knew the Word of God. What was wrong with him? I'd like to read just a little passage from Lift Him Up, page 261. There is but little benefit derived from a hasty reading of the Scriptures. One may read the Bible through and yet fail to see its beauty or to comprehend its deep and hidden meaning. One passage studied until its significance is clear to the mind and its relation to the plan of salvation is evident is of more value than the perusal of many chapters with no definite purpose in view and no positive instruction gained. Now, what do you think about that? Does it say that reading a whole scripture is wrong? No, not at all. Please don't misunderstand me. It's a wonderful thing. But if that's the only reading we do, thinking that we need to know more, and yet more, it doesn't do us good. Because that's the mentality of Jonah. I want to know more, but there is no application of that word. In fact, what happened in the life of Jonah is very, very sad. Because as we look in the first chapter, we see a word that is very frequent there. It comes up again and again. In fact, it comes up 7 times in this New King James Version that I have. In Hebrew, the verb that is used there means that when Jonah went from the Lord, he started going down. Let's look at that. Verse 3, chapter 1. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down. Well, yes, it's talking about down geographically. But there is more than just geography here. He went down spiritually. And again, in the same verse, he goes down to Tarshish. Then he comes to the ship. And he goes down to that ship. Well, he went to Joppa, and then he goes down to the ship. And then he goes down to the lowest part in that ship. And then, in verse 5, it doesn't stop there. We read, he laid down. So, if we look at the progression that Jonah goes through, he goes one step after another. Down, down, down. And it doesn't stop even there when he's already at the bottom of the ship. He's right there. He's laying down. It doesn't stop there. Because in verse 15, we read about those sailors. And we're going to come back to the story. But it's important to see that they actually throw him down into the sea. And he goes down in the sea and it doesn't stop there. Because there is a fish that catches him. And he's down in the belly of the fish. And then, in verse 6, chapter 2, he says, I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. Once Jonah heard the message, he knew the word, but he turned and went to the opposite direction. That direction was downward. Was always down. Now think about it. With all kinds of knowledge, all that he had, it didn't help. It's a very serious and a very sad story. And in verse 7, chapter 2, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. And what happens afterwards? God answered almost immediately. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think Jonah could have prayed that prayer earlier? Do you think he could have prayed that prayer when he just made one step down? Do you think God could have heard him? I'm sure God would have heard him. But it took Jonah to get to the bottom of the belly of the fish to lift up his eyes and pray. Now, it doesn't have to be that far. Well, that's about Jonah. But let's compare Jonah with the sailors. So what do we know about the sailors? Because actually, the title is Lessons from the Sailors. So what is there for us to learn from the sailors? Well, by comparison, When we compare Noah with the sailors, we see an amazing, amazing picture. So Noah goes against his conscience. His feelings are numb. Because when he's right there on the ship and the storm arises, do you read about Jonah's fears or he's afraid of something? Do you read about it? His feelings are numb. But what happens with the sailors? The sailors are real. They are afraid when the storm comes. Even though it seems not as important and significant, it has its lesson. The first lesson from the sailors that we learn, they are real. They react to the circumstances around them. They are real people. Now, what do they do? In verse 5, we read that they threw the cargo. They cried out to their God. No, they are not there on the bottom of the ship sleeping. They are actively trying to figure out what is going on. They are involved. And that's the second lesson that we learn from them. They are involved. But Jonah, what do you see in him? He is not involved. He is resting. His rest is not based on trust in God. That's a similar story to what we read in the New Testament when Jesus was sleeping on the ship. And there is a huge difference between those two rests. Now think about it. What made Jonah actually go down and sleep in the middle of the storm? It was a false sense of rest. It's not the kind of rest that comes from God. That's a very, very dangerous kind of rest. And he's hiding from the reality of God's call. He's hiding from the reality of his own sin and the anguish, distress, suffering of the sailors. He's hiding from all of that. Now, the sailors, in verse 6, chapter 1, we read, the captain wakes Jonah up. It's interesting when you read in different translations what he actually says to Jonah. He says, how in the world can you actually sleep right now? It's a very strong expression. The captain comes down and he wakes the prophet of God. Sailors in verse 7 are looking for the reason for the storm. They are casting lots. Well, it's actually a spiritual action. Just think about it. What would have happened if the sailors wouldn't have cast lots? If the sailors would have said, well, you know, storms happen. I guess that's it for us. Now, what would have happened? We don't know. Of course, we can guess. But probably they would have died. The prophet of God probably would have died. We don't know. But because the sailors were real, they were involved in what was taking place around them. And they woke the prophet of God. And because of that, they were saved. Now, next part just blows my mind. When you compare the sailors that had no idea to some point what was happening, they were so active and they were trying their best to figure out. Now comes Jonah. And what does he do? He preaches the sermon. Out of all the things, you know, at least he could have come up and say, I apologize. This is my fault. He preaches the sermon. Another thing that we can learn from sailors, they ask many questions. They come to Jonah when he, you know, he woke up, he comes out, and they start asking him questions. Now, you tell us, what do you know? Who are you? Where are you coming from? And the scripture tells us that he actually told them that he is running from the Lord. But he preaches the sermon. He says, well, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. I'm reading verse 9 in chapter 1. The Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. When I read that, it made me think. I've heard those words in some places in the Bible. And let me rephrase what I heard Jonah say. He says, I am special. I'm a part of God's own peculiar people. A part of, if you will, a group of people that is so special that God looks at them differently. I'm a Hebrew. Well, he says, I know the first angel's message from Revelation 14 that says, fear God and give him glory, so I fear God. He goes on, I keep the Sabbath. In fact, I know that the second part of Revelation 14:7, which says, worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water, is the allusion to Exodus 20:11, which says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them." So I know, I worship that God. But knowing all of that, I run from the Lord. Does it make any sense to you? A person who knows who he is, that he is a part of God's chosen people, who knows that God is not just a God that is not mighty, he is just one of the gods. No, this is the God who created. And in fact, Jonah there, he misses the part, the earth. He says he created the sea. And it applies, it's relevant. He knows God who actually has something to do with this reality. Does it make any sense to you that he says, "But I run from that Lord"? What's wrong with that picture? What is taking place? That's a question that I ask myself. I think there are many answers that we can come up with. But I think one of the problems is that we've been along this road too long to admit that we haven't actually gotten far. We know that, well, we've been a part of God's special people for so long, we should have gotten far. We should have been already places. But we are not there. And so what do? We try to imitate what we should be. Because we should be there. However, we are not there. And our mind plays a trick on us. We try to imitate that special group of people. And God forbid us from doing that. That's not the solution. Here is a scripture in Hebrews 5, verse 12. It's a very serious scripture. It says very serious things, very strongly and directly. In verse 12, chapter 5 of Hebrews, we read, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And when we read this scripture, we go, well, of course we are ready for solid food. That's what I would like to say. Yes, I don't need just milk. I am ready for solid food. Give it to me. But the problem is, if I try to imitate something that is not there, that's not the solution. Chapter 6, verse 1 and on actually states a very serious fact. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection." That's a good thing, to strive to progress to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, and so on. Then verse 4, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned." Now that's a very, very serious statement. But the solution is the same. Instead of imitating something that we are not, or I am not, the solution is repentance. The solution is to come to square one, to the beginning, and look at who God is. Look at who we are and admit it. And be real. Learn from the sailors. Be real. And God, by His mercy, does amazing things. When we look at God in this book of Jonah, what do we see? We see God who cares for those who reject Him. Think about it. 120,000 people, 120,000 rebels. And God cared about them so much that he sends his prophet to them. God cares for the sinners who repent that he spares the lives of 120,000 people of Nineveh. That's the kind of God that we see in this book. God cares for the sailors so much that he saves them from the storm. God cares even for Jonah so much that he allows him to experience God's saving power and remain his prophet regardless of his rebellious acts and weaknesses. That's the kind of God we see in this book. Don't you think God knew who Jonah was? Of course he did. And knowing all of that, he still sent him and he let him go through this experience because he cared, not because he wanted to reject him or put him down. Even though Jonah ended up in the belly of the fish because of his rebellion and against God and actually his commandments, Jesus comes down from heaven, down to the lowly manger, down to the feet of his disciples in the upper room, down to the ground of Gethsemane, and yet down to the same level with the robbers on the cross, and down to the grave. Jonah turned away from God and went down, and yet down. Jesus chooses to go down, and yet down. It's like he meets Jonah on every level that Jonah steps down. That's the kind of God that we see. Whatever step you are at, if it's down, maybe it's not down. Whatever it is, Jesus is willing to step on the same level with you and me because he cares. In fact, in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 39 and 40, let's read that. Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 and 40, we read, "But he, Jesus, answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.'" Now, think about it. Jesus compares himself with that prophet who turned around and went from God. That's who God is. He follows his prophet. And he even compares himself and his death and his burial in the grave. He compares that with Jonah. Isn't that good news to us? That's the kind of sign that you and I need today. And that's the gospel. That's the message for us today. The good one. That whatever, which level you are at right now, all it takes, what it took for Jonah, look up and cry to God. Because he is right there, already waiting for you. And that was a miracle that Jonah actually got out of that belly. It was a miracle. And it takes miracles for us to be saved. But God does it for us. And he can do it for you and me. It doesn't matter where we are right now and how long we've been that road. So turn to him. Look up to him. That's the solution. Let's stop imitating. Let's look at him and be real, because he gives us whatever it takes for us to be real. He helps us to be involved in the life around us, not to hide from it. He is the one who will help us to get involved in this community more, to get to know people, to care for these people, to love them for real. He is the one who will do that. But let's turn to him, because he has come down to our level for us. In the book of Jonah, the sailors preach with their lives. They live out their faith. And so that's the most important lesson from the sailors. That's the main lesson. Let's live what we preach. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that your mercy is renewed every day for us. Lord, we've been this road a long time. Lord, we've learned so much. You've given us the treasures of your word. Lord, help us to apply that to our daily life. Even if it takes for us to go back to the basic truths, which are profound in themselves, come back to repentance, come back to simple faith that you are our Savior and you come down to the level where we are. Lord, transform us. Open our eyes. Help us to see that need in you. And we pray not only for us today, Lord. We pray for this community. We pray for every person in this town. Lord, enlarge our hearts and give us that genuine love and care for the needs of these people. Lord, please transform us with your Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.